Peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to the sixth season of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I want to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's holy word. And right now we want to get right into God's word, so let's go. Now let us hear the word of the Lord for us today from Isaiah chapter 9 and beginning at verse 2. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah to preach to the people of Jerusalem, and now it comes to us today. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. O most holy and precious God, our Father, from you comes all wisdom. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon us, to guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And this we pray in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Can you hear that? It's silence. Something we don't hear very often during this time of year, unfortunately. This time of year always seems very chaotic. If you work where I work, you know it's very chaotic. But it's sometimes it's welcome to just stop and let silence pour over us like a bath of warm water. Sometimes, honestly, in this day and age, silence is almost like an intrusion, an annoyance, something to draw us out of our routines. And I have my schedule to keep, and I have my agenda, and if I don't meet every single thing on my list in the time that I'm supposed to meet it, then it'll throw everything out of kilter and I will never sleep again. We need to stop and slow down and breathe and just enjoy the silence. There's a great verse in the Psalms that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Isaiah was a prophet who spoke to the people of Jerusalem 700 years before the birth of Christ. 700 years. In the time of Isaiah, things were very chaotic. Things were, a lot of noise was going on. You had people worshiping false gods and idols in the temple. And you had enemy armies marching into Jerusalem and carrying away the people captive. And there was a lot of chaos and a lot of noise. And in the noise, Isaiah gives us this prophecy. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How many of those names do you think is appropriate for a little child? The Mighty God? Why would you call a newborn child the Mighty God or the Everlasting Father? Unless, of course, that child actually was. And the people didn't understand it. I mentioned this in my message yesterday, that it was 700 years before the birth of Christ, that Isaiah spoke these words to a nation that was yearning for some good news. And they said, here is Isaiah, says, a child is going to be born and he's going to deliver us. We can't wait. It's going to be exciting. It's going to happen. He's going to deliver us. He's going to be everything we've ever imagined. And maybe in the first year after Isaiah's prophecy, they said, we can't wait. He's here. He's here. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And then maybe a year or two or three or five after Isaiah spoke those words, they said, we know he's coming. God said he was coming. God promised. He doesn't break his promises. He's going to be coming. He's coming any day. Any day. 10 years go by. 20 years go by. 50 years go by. The people begin to say, hey, you remember Isaiah? Do you remember what he said? He said that there would be a child who would be born. I wonder what it's going to be like when that child comes. I wonder when that child will come. 100 years passed. 200 years. Now it's 700 years. And perhaps the people in the time when Jesus was actually born were thinking to themselves, if they even considered Isaiah's prophecy ever at all, maybe they thought, huh, that was kind of a funny prophecy. Unto us a child is born. Well, it never came to pass. Maybe it never will. My wife and I tried to have children for 16 years. Well, no, let's go back. We tried for 15 years and then we gave up. But it was when we gave up, when we stopped trying, all of a sudden we were blessed with little Isaac. We stopped trying. We thought it was not in the cards. We're never going to have any children. It's okay. We gave up. And boom, there he was. And it was like that for the people of Israel too. They had just given up. They had just forgotten all about this prophecy. And then all of a sudden it happened. And we read in Luke, this is an amazing account, that in Luke, the angels visited the shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. When the glory of the Lord shines around us, we are fearful because God is awesome. God is amazing. God is so much greater than we could possibly imagine. And when God's presence is right in our midst and visible and felt, we cower. But God says, fear not. The angel said, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. And that was the game changer. That's what changed everything. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. Someday. 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 And here's the angel saying, for unto you is born this day. You're not waiting anymore. You've waited 700 years, and today is the day. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Do you know how remarkable it is to have that phrase, Christ the Lord? There's only one place in all of the Bible where those two words appear next to each other. Christos Kyrios. Christ the Lord. And it is right here in verse 11, chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel. Christ the Lord. He is the anointed of God. He is God. That's what's amazing about Him. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. God is coming. God is going to be in your midst. God Himself is appearing. Christ the Lord. And here's the sign. He will be poor. Wrapped in rough cloth and laid where the animals eat. Doesn't sound like God, but you know what? God often does the surprising to keep us off balance. I found that frequently in my life that God does things that we don't expect to surprise us and keep us on our toes. God does the amazing. Because God can do the amazing. And only God can do the amazing. And God does what is unexpected. Because if He did what was expected all the time, then people would just do what we expect God to do and call it an act of God, even if it were not. And so when God does something so outrageous like this, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. We're surprised, but we know it's something that God brings about because it's the unexpected. Suddenly, there was with the angel the multitude of heaven, the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Let's go right now. We've been waiting 700 years. Today's the day. Now is the time. Let's go. We don't have to wait anymore. Let's go right now. You know, can't wait to see this thing. And so they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. God doesn't do things the way we expect Him to. God doesn't do things the way we anticipate. Very often God surprises us with things in a way that we just can't even imagine that He would do those things. Who would have even imagined that God would look upon a world filled with sin, in rebellion to Him, turned away from Him, doing everything against His will, and He would look with love upon His creation, and He would send His only begotten Son to redeem the world with His own life? Who would even imagine that? There was nobody living in Jesus' time who was praying to God and saying, God, send your Son to be our sacrifice. Nobody was saying that. God did it because it was unexpected. And only God, in His infinite imagination, could have conceived of such a thing. And only God, in His infinite love, could have come through the way He did. I had a conversation with a gentleman just the other day, and I said that our focus shifts in Christmas from when we are children to when we are adults. When we are children, the focus is all about the joy in receiving, isn't it? Have you seen a child open the gift, that the one that they really wanted, that was under that tree? You know, I think of that movie, A Christmas Story, when he unwraps that Red Ryder BB gun, right? And his eyes just bug out, right? And he's like, this is exactly what I wanted. You know? I think about at the end of A Christmas Story when little Randy is laying passed out holding the Zeppelin, you know? That his joy was so complete that he spent himself so much that he couldn't even stay awake anymore. Right? With children, the joy is in receiving. With adults, the joy is in the giving, isn't it? We love to see kids open up their presents. We love to give. We love to give to our friends and to our family and we're like, I can't wait until they open up the thing that I got them, because I know they're going to love it, you know? But Jesus said that those who would enter the kingdom of heaven must become like a little child. I know this is hard. It's hard for me. But we have to get back to the place where we feel the joy in receiving the gift. We have to be like that child who opens up that thing that has been exactly what we wanted, and then our joy is so complete that we just pass out from exhaustion. Can we get back to that place where we are joyous over the thing that we receive from God? That joyous, that completely, like, out of our minds with exuberance, joy. We need to be people who receive the gift of God with complete and utter joy. We need to be like little children who can't wait to see what it is that God has done for us today. Who can't wait to receive that gift. And when we do, we almost have tears in our eyes, knowing what we've received, what God has done for us. That's what Christmas is all about. In the chaos, in the crowds, in the noise, in the bustle, in the scheduling, and really tight scheduling, I have to be here, and then I have to be here, and then I have to be here, and then I have to be here. Or this person's coming to my house, and I have to be ready, and I have to get all my stuff together, and I have to get all the food cooked, and I have to have all the things prepared, and clean the dining room, clean the kitchen, clean the living room, clean the whatever. But can we get to a place where we are in expectant joy over the arrival of this child? Like the shepherds, let us go now and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And when they got there, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And the shepherds returned, I love this in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That their joy was so complete that they couldn't contain it within themselves, that it spilled out over everybody else around them. And we can be like that too. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." And so let your light so shine before people that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The joy over knowing this child. Yesterday in our children's church service, when the kids come down, I never know what to expect. You know, I never know what they're going to say. And so I said to them, you know, "Hey, do any of you know how old Jesus is?" Right? And one of the kids said, 102. I said, "Why 102? And he says, "Because he's really old." Well, I guess to a 10-year-old, you know, 102 is really old, right? Well, I mean, really, Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, which would make him what? I guess if we go by our calendar, he would be 2,018 years old, but he's even older than that when you think about it. In the book of John, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And all things were made through Him. There's nothing that was made that was not made by Him. You know? He made everything. And then we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld His glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and light. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the gift that God sent His Son to give to us. Can we get to a place where we can find that joy again? The joy like a child opening that long-anticipated present. The people of Israel had waited 700 years. And yet when Jesus was born, on the day He was born, there was almost no fanfare. There was the angels who announced it to the shepherds and the shepherds who came, but apart from them, hardly anybody even noticed that God, I mean, the God who in Genesis spoke into nothing and created everything, stepped off His throne and was born in their midst. What an amazing gift. And so we need to get to a place where we can enjoy that gift and we can experience fully the joy, like a child, the joy of receiving eternal life from God. Let us pray. Oh, most gracious God, we are so grateful for all that You have done for us. And we thank You, Lord, for drawing us together in this place. We thank You for families that we can share this season of light and hope with each other. We thank You for the knowledge of Your Son as our Savior and Lord. We thank You that You have reached out, entered into history to be one of us and to rescue us from all of our sin and despair. And for those of us who may be grieving in this time, Lord, we pray for Your comfort. For those of us who are sick or are in need of healing, we pray for Your healing touch. And mostly, Lord, we just pray for Your light and Your joy to be in our hearts so that we can overflow with Your love and be a blessing to others who need to know the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. This we pray in His mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. Now, I have been blessed that God has called me to minister to two churches in rural New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. And if you don't have a church family to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. But if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers where you are. Again, I pray that you have been blessed by this teaching, and I hope that you will join us again next time. God bless you and keep you. Amen.